You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
This past spring, the British Columbia and Alberta governments signed a joint agreement. The Trade, Investment, and Labor Mobility Agreement, otherwise known as TILMA, will harmonize labor standards and business regulations in the two provinces. Ellen Gould of the Council of Canadians called the agreement a license to kill for big business. Some residents of Gabriola Island also realized that TILMA could prevent members of their community from having a say in developments that could affect their future. That's why a group of Gabriola Island residents were protesting TILMA in front of the legislature in Victoria last week. Eric Anderson was one of those residents, and he has joined me on the line from Gabriola Island. Hello, Eric. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
There was very little media attention or publicity around TILMA when it was announced in the spring. How did you become aware of this agreement?
Well, I think, to be fair, a gentleman here in the island, John Hill, took trouble to look at the agreement carefully, and then he prepared a summary and brought it to our attention as a small group that have always hung together.
And TILMA was supposedly created to eliminate barriers to interprovincial trade and employment. And I understand that you have worked in both BC and Alberta. How significant do you think those barriers are?
Basically, the barriers have never existed, in my opinion. I have direct experience, as you mentioned, both as a person working in both provinces on and off for the last 40 years or more, and also as a person sourcing investment capital for startup ventures and other investment ventures. So the issue of difficulty between the two provinces and moving either labor back and forth or capital, investment capital back and forth, to me is a non-event.
So if these interprovincial trade barriers aren't all that significant, what do you think the BC and the Alberta governments are hoping to accomplish with this agreement?
Well, it the part about labor mobility and investment mobility is sort of a motherhood statement, and the cynics would argue, and we argue, that that is a red herring. It's designed to be camouflaging the real reason. And in our opinion, the real reason is that the provincial governments want to hollow out the authority of local governments who are elected, who have various bylaws that they wish to be able to enforce either on development issues or citizens' rights issues. And they want to have those bylaws blunted and be able to see corporations free to sort of put the heavy boot down when it suits their interests to do so.
And just in thinking about how this would actually function, what kind of mechanism would there be to manage disputes under TILMA?
Well, that's, of course, where the agreement discloses its real nature. The agreement provides for a unelected three-person body. In other words, they would be appointed by order in council or cabinet. In the case of both provinces, it would be some kind of collective notion over who should be on it. And these folks would then have the binding right in whatever decision they took when an issue was brought before them, and to sort of add to their hammer, besides having the legal binding authority over the issue, they have the right to impose fines of up to $5 million per event.
Wow, that's this appointed three-member panel with a lot of power, and it's pretty amazing that there's so little attention to the creation of this agreement. And so when you found out about this, and you and others that you're working with and living with on Gabriola Island, what were your concerns about the ways that this might affect your community on the island?
Well, I think in a direct sense, we're worried that the Island Trust and the regional district authorities that have people on that are elected by us and of course ask us for taxes and payments to keep their organizations and so on going, they would have a loss of authority to act in the public's interest. And that's where we see huge risks, and we're worried about that.
And what could that mean in terms of, are you concerned about environmental issues on Gabriola, or what are some of the specific concerns that you have about where that could lead?
Well, mostly it would lead to uncontrolled development, which some people would say, well, what does it matter? But I think most people who live on the islands, and we're not different than those on Vancouver Island and other Gulf Islands, we treasure and value the standard of life that we've come to enjoy by living here and protecting what is our homes. Now, that could be the environment, and very much is so. It could also mean issues about access to the aquifer by overdevelopment. It could mean issues of closing off beach access by various parties where we now have it. So it leads down the road towards, yes, the environment, and yes, the quality of life, and a deterioration possibly of that quality.
So you and a number of Gabriola Island residents were in front of the legislature in Victoria last week. What kind of response did you get to your action?
Well, of course, we mostly talked to ourselves, so we were very enthusiastic about that part. But we had a successful interview with two MLAs. One is our local MLA, which is Leonard Krogh. And then also a Michael Sather, who's the MLA for Maple Ridge Pitt Meadows. And Michael has the task from his caucus of being the lead person on this particular file for the NDP in opposition. And, of course, we're encouraging people who have concerns about this issue to not only contact their local MLA, but to make sure that Michael is aware of their concerns by either copying him or directly communicating with him.
And what else do you plan to, does your group plan to do from here?
Well, we have a representation on Monday to the Islands Trust Council. John Hill is going to be giving that representation. We've been invited to comment to a writer from the BC Business Magazine, and we've given that comment to him. The comment includes suggested questions for the minister. I think it's Mr. Hansen. And, of course, the questions we presented or are presenting to this BC Business Magazine writer have to do with why, what is needed, why is this needed, and what are the ramifications? Does he not worry about them? We also are going to represent the issue to all of the municipalities and regional districts. That's something we have in train this coming week. And then on top of that, we're going to represent the issue to all of the chambers of commerce in British Columbia, because we think that the local business people of British Columbia are completely unprepared and in the dark about what ramifications this would have to what would be normally a fairly vulnerable business when the heavy checkbook is the way the issues will go in this new agreement.
Well, thank you, Eric, for taking the time to speak with us this morning.
Is there a chance for one reference I'd like to get?
Yeah, absolutely.
The thing that it's at the heart of this is something called The Tragedy of the Commons, and you can check it out on anybody's computer or dictionary. And it's referred to in Wikipedia as a class of phenomena that involve a conflict for resources between individual interests and the common good. And it was it's a term that was developed maybe 3,000 years ago. Since coming away from the notion of the commons, which was a grazing area that was commonly held in the community, the commons now is a broader context. And so you can look upon the resources of that are owned by collectively the citizens of the province, the world, such as the air, water, sea, forest, and so on. That is, in fact, those are the commons. They're owned by the public, and this agreement transfers the right to exploit the commons excessively in the favor of large corporate interests.
Okay, well, thank you, Eric, and thank you for linking this issue to the bigger concerns.
Good. You're welcome.
I've been speaking with Eric Anderson. He is one of the Gabriola Island residents who were in Victoria last week to protest the Trade, Investment, and Labor Mobility Agreement. If you would like to read the agreement, there'll be a link to it on our website, and our website is coopradio.org/redeye.